Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local man has made it his mission and his job to eradicate invasive plants. Let's go in-depth with former park ranger John Holt. John, tell us a little bit about your life prior to retirement.
I was a park ranger for about 35 years. Last 20-some were at Lake Red Rock for the Corps of Engineers.
And where were you before Lake Red Rock?
I was in Alaska, Florida, Alabama, and then came back to Iowa and moved to Red Rock because it was the closest thing we had to a national park in the state.
Well, and so you've had experience with a wide variety of plants and animals, you know, all over North America, it sounds like.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, all those different places you've been, why'd you settle back here?
Well, we had, Red Rock was kind of halfway between our two families, so we wanted our kids to know their grandparents. So, like a lot of people, we come home. And I'm also, you know, I grew up in Iowa, so I'm pretty much bonded to our landscape, being kind of an outdoor person. I'm bonded to this natural landscape that we have in Iowa.
Well, and what you're doing now in retirement is you're helping people rid their properties of invasive species. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, for about 100 years in this country, we did natural resource management by addition. We added species that we thought would be good. And, you know, everybody knows some common ones, carp, for instance, and the house sparrow, darlings, and kudzu in the south. But what we did here in the Midwest was 30 or 40 years ago, we encouraged people to plant a couple species of shrubs that have, that are from Asia, and we encouraged them to do so because birds and other animals would like to berries, and that proved to be a mistake because those shrubs have no natural control over them, and they took over and they threatened a few natural areas we have now.
Well, and we've done this, as you say, with plants, with animals. I mean, we have invasive insect species as well.
Yes, everybody's real familiar with the current one, which is the emerald ash borer, which has cost us our ash trees throughout this county and throughout the state.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about eradicating invasive plants with former park ranger John Holt. With respect to invasive species, potentially anytime we go to a garden center, we could be purchasing and contributing to the problem, correct?
Yeah, and that used to be more of an issue now. I think we're more aware of it now. There's more scrutiny of that kind of thing. And 30 years ago, for instance, you know, the natural resource agencies were promoting these species as for conservation-minded people. They were selling them and giving them out, and people who were interested in the outdoors were planting them. So, you know, it's a question of, I guess, learning about the dangers of doing that. So now, in hindsight, we shouldn't have done it, but we did.
Well, what are some of the species that you wind up eradicating from property?
Well, the main one is people call bush honeysuckle. And the problem with it is, you know, in the few woodlands we have left this state, it's shade tolerant. So if you let it go, it'll take over the whole timber. And like right now, we got people hunt mushrooms, hunt turkeys, and all those people are familiar with it. Property owners are familiar with it, and it gets so thick you can hardly crawl through it, and it completely eradicates all the native species that grow in the understory. That's probably the main one in the woodlands. There's another one. If anybody has any prairie they're trying to restore, that one is called autumn olive, and it thrives in sunlight, and it's a problem for open areas. Those are the two main ones, I'd say, Bob. And there's some other ones. Everybody knows about multiflora rose, you know, that we thought was a good idea 50 or 60 years ago for edges, and it escaped, and it causes problems. And it is a pain, literally and figuratively, but it's not as aggressive as any means as this honeysuckle is in our timber. It spread that everywhere.
Is that the same honeysuckle that grows as a tree, or is it a different honeysuckle?
Well, there's lots of different species of honeysuckle. This is one from Asia, and it's called Amur honeysuckle. And it was promoted as a food for wildlife, but it worked too good. So birds eat those red berries. Everybody's probably seen those red berries, and they leave their droppings everywhere, and it has a real high germination rate. And it has no natural enemies. It has a little fungus that gets on it sometimes, but it doesn't kill it. So it with a high germination rate and the attractiveness to search for birds, it is way too successful. I once watched a cedar waxwing eating red berries and ate eight berries before it flew off. And I went outside and I counted the seeds in each berry, and I think there were about six. So that's 48 seeds in one sitting for that one bird. So that's where the issue is. It worked too good.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about eradicating invasive plants with former park ranger John Holt. Well, an autumn olive, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, that was, again, it was designed, it was propagated by the USDA, and they selectively bred species of it across to come up with the most aggressive, resilient shrub they could, for planting windbreaks and restoration areas, and they were very successful because it, in open areas, it spreads by rhizomes, underground roots, and has short thorns on it, so it's a little bit unpleasant to be around. And each plant can have 100 stems. So when you let them get big, so it's kind of a different animal. I have a neighbor who has a skid loader with a fence puller on it, and he pulls a lot of honeysuckle out of his timber. It comes up easy, even big ones, but you can't do that with olive, and that speaks to its resilience of its root system.
Is it the bush that is pretty and smells nice, got pretty flowers?
Yeah, they're kind of yellowish flowers, and I'm trying to think of when that is, late May. That's probably what you're talking about.
Yes. Well, we've
that's really good.
Yeah, well, we've got one on a fence, and my wife doesn't want to cut it down.
Right. Well, as long as you keep an eye on it, don't let it. Animals really like its seed, too. It's spread by animal dispersion also. So, but yeah, it's real. The USDA did a good job of breeding a successful plant there, but it escaped. And it's even more difficult to kill than the honeysuckle.
So if animals are spreading that seed, I just better, you know, talk to her about this and cut this down, huh?
Well, I don't want to get in the middle of your marriage. if it was me, I would cut it down, and my wife wouldn't care because she knows the damage they do. But one bush by itself, you know, isn't particularly troublesome. It's when the whole pasture or prairie is taken over by the stuff. I'm working on an area now that used to be a really nice prairie, and that stuff got in it, got away within 5 or 6 years. It's ruined half that prairie, or sent it way back. And the goal is to kill it and hope there's a seed bank of the native species that are still there.
Well, how do you go about eradicating these species?
Well, in my case, I use a couple different kinds of herbicides, and I can work any month of the year to do it. Question of using the right herbicide, the right concentration in the right way at the right time. But there's other people who do this that use mechanical means. They have forestry heads mounted on skid loaders that grind everything up. But then they're not selective though. I mean, they grind everything. In my case, one of my hobbies is plant identification, so I know what to kill and what not to kill. But the machines can work well. Some people do it when it's a real heavy population, but you still have to use herbicide after you do that, because either one of these species, if you cut them off and you don't kill the stumps, you just multiply the problem. And then the other one that I've heard of, never seen it done, is people use goats. They hire a company to bed goats, and they fence off an area, prioritize an area, and the goats go in and eat them down. But there again, they're not selective. I imagine they would eat about anything they could reach, and you'd still have to use herbicide after they're done on the resprouts, because you can't just mow the stuff off. That just makes it worse. So I use herbicide, and it's high labor, but I can usually be about 95% effective on a given area.
Well, then it lets the native species come back, and sometimes they're able then to fight back against the invasives if there's enough of them, right?
Yeah, before I retired, I ran an experiment on about 40 acres of timber that had a pretty bad infestation, and, you know, it worked real well. Today, it has a real light infestation that, you know, sometimes the person has to go back and do some follow-up. But yeah, the native species come back. I've also worked in places where population is so heavy, it's been there so long, that I'd say it's still a question mark on how well it will restore itself, because it was so bad for so long. But see what happens in those places. Some kind of plants will colonize it, definitely.
Well, how do people get a hold of you if they want to talk about plant eradication, invasive plant eradication for their prairies, their fields?
They can call me. I'm in the telephone book. Got a Knoxville address and a telephone book.
And you travel all over, I bet.
Well, I've worked as far as Lucas County. That's been about, or I worked some in Warren County. But, you know, that would be about as far as I'd want to drive, I think. I haven't driven further, but there's so, when people drive around now this time of year, we're kind of enjoying spring. What you see when you drive down the road, unfortunately, you see it, the forest. And if you, generally, in most cases, when you look at it, you see kind of a solid fence of 6 to 8 foot high green, a green barrier along the edge of the forest. And that's not a good sign, because you should be able to see into the timber. You should be able to see through it. And so there's plenty of that stuff in Marion County and the surrounding area for me to work on. So that's kind of the extent of my traveling, Bob.
Do you enjoy this work?
Well, I must, because I do it. I think one of my customers said, well, I think what you enjoy is trying to restore it, the landscape, to its native state, and I think that's true. Therefore, I'm willing to do the labor, because that's what it is. It's high labor. And I get to do something that I think is right, and also keeps in shape, because the few areas we have left aren't farmed, because most cases they're too steep. So I do a lot of up and down with this job. So that keeps me in shape. I guess that's good.
Thanks to John Holt for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.